The topic of the lecture today will be mainly about function of several variables. But first, I have to end some notions and remarks on the topology of the Euclidean space Rn, which we not were able to end the other time. Here I gave you some of the main definition we had of an open, closed set, and also the definition of a closure point. While discussing about this concept on Friday, I gave you the idea of what the boundary of a set is, okay, which was pretty evident, but we did not make it formal. Okay, so first thing today, I'm making it formal, so we have the whole concept. Okay, so for instance, if we take the open ball of a certain center x and some radius epsilon, we had the idea that the boundary point was a point here, let's say on the border of the set. And the same if we take, for instance, a square, okay? This is a boundary point, this is not, okay? We gave the definition of an interior point. An interior point is a point such that a ball centered in this point is contained in the set if the radius is small enough, okay? But the exact definition of a boundary point is not points of the set which are not interior points, okay? It's slightly different, because for instance, this point here, which has distance epsilon from the center, is not part of the set, but it is a boundary point of the set. Okay? The idea is related to make it formal. We need another concept that I did not write, but I gave you the other time, that is the closure of a set, which we denote by one of these notations, and which is just the collection of closure points. And looking at the definition of a closure point, you know that a point which is in the set always belongs to this ball, and so it is always a closure point. Okay? We discussed this on Friday. Well, roughly, a boundary point is a point which is at the same time a closure point for the set and a closure point for its complement. And the complement is this. Okay? Okay, somehow we say that X in Rn is a boundary point of D if, let's say, it's a closure point for D, so it means that if you have two conditions. However small you take epsilon, the open ball of center X and radius epsilon intersects D. And at the same time, we want it to be a closure point for its complement. So we would like the same property for the complement. But what does it mean that the intersection with Rn minus D is non-empty? Well, this can be written equivalently just saying that the ball is not contained in me. Okay? This means that there is a point in the ball which belongs to Rn minus D, so that it doesn't belong to D, and so the ball is not contained in D. Okay? So generally, when you give the definition, you take these two conditions. This one, and this one. So a point is a boundary point if any ball around the point intersects the set, but it is not contained in the set. Let me make a final example. Let's take a set done this way. Somehow I can make this formal. In R2, you take this rectangle, this square, and then you make the union with the unit ball. Okay? So this is 0, 0. No, sorry. It isn't done this way. This is 0, 0. So this is 1. This is 1, this is minus 1. Okay. Minus 1, 0 for the first... this is minus 1, 0. Minus 1, 0 for the first component and minus 1 plus 1 for the second component. Okay? You take this rectangle and you unite with this ball. Yeah. Okay? So, this is an open ball. So, these points on the circle do not belong to the set. Okay? First thing to notice. This set is not open. Why it is not open? Just take a point here, for instance, minus 1, 0, and you take any ball around this point. This ball is not contained in the set. Okay? So, this set is not open. The set is not even closed. If you remember last lecture, we said that if a set is closed and we have a sequence of points in the set which is converging to some limit point, the point must be in the set. Okay? It's a characterization of a closed set and is the reason why we call it closed. So take this sequence of points, 0, 1 half, 0, 2 third, and so on. Okay, this sequence, let's say that xk is 0, 1 minus 1 over k. This sequence is converging to 0, 1, this limit point here, but this point does not belong to the set. Because it does not belong. Okay, it does not belong here because it does not belong here because it's sorry. No, sorry. This is, I mean it wrong. It's the components are reversed. It's 1 minus 1 over k and 0. This goes to 1, 0. 1, 0 does not belong to this set because 1 is not here. And does not belong to the ball because it's, let's say, roughly on the boundary of the ball. Okay? So, it's not even close. So, here we have a good example of a set which is both not open and not closed. Okay? Well, tell me, which are the boundary points of this set? It's the set of all points such that if you take a ball around the point, the ball is intercept the set but is not contained in the set. However, you take a point in the interior, it doesn't work, because interior means exactly that you find a small of a ball of small enough radius which is inside the set. So these are the candidate points. And these are, if you take any of these points here, indeed you have that property. So the set of boundary points of this set is this. Okay? Notice these points belong to the set. These points do not belong to the set. So the boundary of a set is not contained in the set, necessarily, okay? Unless the set is closed. The set of boundary points is generally denoted this way. And it's called the boundary or the frontier of the set. Okay? You can prove the following. The frontier of a set D is the intersection of the closure of D intersected the closure of its complement. Okay? You check it by applying the definition of the closure here, the definition of the closure here, and taking the intersection. A function satisfies both, and you will find again these two conditions. Okay? Important property is that it's not true that the boundary is contained in E, but it is true that if D is closed, then the boundary of the set D is contained in D. And it follows immediately from here. If the set is closed, the closure of the set is the set itself, and the boundary is the set intersecting something else. Okay, so it's a subset of D. Why did I spend more than 10 minutes about the boundary points and the boundary and the frontier of a set? Because in optimization, it's usual that interesting points are often on the boundary of the region you are considering. Okay? Some might say that interesting things in optimization happen generally on the boundary. Okay? So this is the reason why I'm interested. And last time I explained why we were interested in closed sets. So we will generally be in this situation. And it's very likely that min or maximum belong to the boundary. Notice that if you take D to be the whole space, okay, this condition is never satisfied. If D is the whole space, it's not possible that the ball of points of the space is not contained in the whole space. So, the whole space has no boundary. Okay? Questions? That's... If not, I'm going on with recalling you the last concept we had the other time, which is very useful also. In optimization, and which is something more than closed for a set. I ended the lecture with the concept of a compact set. And compact means two things. That the set is closed, and that the set is bounded. And last time I told you that the bounded means that there exists a large enough value, positive value, M, such that the full set is contained in the ball of center, the zero vector, and radius M. Okay? Or equivalently, that the norm of all vectors, the true norm of all vectors, in D, is less than M. Okay? Or, if you want, it is absolutely equivalent, you can take the closed ball, and here have less recall. Why you can take the closed ball? Because if this is true for an open ball, you take a larger M, you take the closed ball, and the open ball with the smaller value is inside the other ball. Okay? So you can give this definition with the open ball or with the closed ball. It makes no meaningful difference because you can choose M. Okay? And you can take it as large as you want. So the two things are exactly the same. Why are we interested in compact sets? Well, compact sets have a very nice property. Indeed, this is a characterization of compact sets, and it is another way to give the Bolzano Weierstrass theorem, which on Friday we stated for sequences. We said that if a sequence of points has this property, then it admits at least, it has at least one cluster point. Okay? Well, you can state it also in terms of compact set, and indeed you can achieve a bit more. A set D in Rn is compact. If and only if any sequence of points which belong to D has at least almeno one cluster point, and moreover, all the cluster points of the sequence belong to D. So the statement is a bit stronger than the one I gave you for sequence. A set is compact if and only if anyhow you take a sequence of points contained in the set, this sequence as a cluster point, which means a converging subsequence, and moreover, all the possible cluster points of the sequence belong to the set. You have no way to escape out. Why is this interesting to us? Okay, this is interesting to us considering the case in which D is the set of points over which we want to minimize or maximize a function. Okay? So, if we want to minimize or maximize a function over a compact set, we have this property, and this property tells us that a minimum point or a maximum point does really exist if the function has some good behavior. Okay, is a nice function. What do I mean by nice function? I mean that the function is continuous. Okay, if you think it of a function of one variable, roughly continuous means that you can draw the graph of the function without having to stop to take your chalk out of the blackboard, your pen out of the sheet of paper. I mean, you can do it this way. Why? If I have something like this, I have to step back and then go back to the blackboard again. I'm making this formula. So now we switch to functions of several variables. So from now onward, f will be a function from Rn to R. To each vector in Rn, we associate a value. Okay? To each x in Rn, we associate the value f of x. A function from Rn to R is called continuous at some given point x bar in Rn if, now I state it a bit informal and then I make it more formal. If the value f at x bar is the limit of f at x as x goes to x bar. Roughly speaking, it says as I get closer and closer to x bar, the value f at x gets closer and closer to the value f at x bar. Okay? This is not, it is in, what is this? Something in between pink and orange. This is not satisfactory from a mathematical point of view because I introduced you the limit of sequences. Okay. This is not the sequence. For a sequence, I should number points. Okay. I have an ordered sequence of points. Well, here I'm just saying as it goes closer and closer. So I make it formal, and essentially I will show you in a bit that is roughly very similar. And this means, well, if I want the values f at x bar and f at x to be arbitrarily close, okay, the absolute value of the difference of this number is less or equal to epsilon, it is enough to take x close enough to x bar. Okay, I read it once again. I fix a value of epsilon, then if the function is continuous at that point, it means that there exists a positive delta such that if the distance between x and x bar is less or equal than delta, the two values up to the in absolute value are no more different than epsilon. Okay?
Maybe if I say
the next thing, I answer to your question without you having to ask. Let's see if it's true. Well, you can easily prove the following. If f is continuous at a point x bar in Rn, if and only if any sequence xk in Rn such that x bar is the limit of the sequence, satisfies the following. The limit of the number f at xk is at the x bar. Okay. Continuous means, so I given you the definition in these terms of epsilon and delta, but I could have used this other way of giving the definition, because it's absolutely equivalent. Okay? This fact, as x gets closer and closer to x bar, f at x gets closer and closer to f at x bar, can be restated in this term. However I approach x bar with a sequence of points, the sequence of values goes to the value at the point. Okay? It's not very different from what you had in the case n equal 1. Okay? It's exactly the same idea. Let me not write it, but a function is continuous on a set D if it is continuous at every point of the set. Okay? And when I will not state nothing, I will just say that the function is continuous, I'm implicitly saying that it's continuous everywhere, at every point. Okay?
But it's signed in the proposition.
So if you have this property that the sequence of points goes to x bar, so x bar is the limit of that sequence, okay, then you have this property on the bounds. Okay? If you take your old notes of calculus course at the very first year of the undergraduate program and you take n equal 1, you will find the same kind of statements. And the result, I already stated to you, is that if we have a continuous function on a set D, and the set D is compact, then the function has a mean, at least a minimum and a maximum point over the set D. And this is probably one of the most famous theorems in calculus. And it is credited to Bias Plasconi. Well, it's not really much different from that. It's an application of the Bolzano-Weierstrass theorem. And it says, let a set D in Rn be compact. And a function f be continuous on D. Then there exists at least one minimum point, let's say x bar in D of and one maximum point let's say x up of x over the set D, which means that f at x bar is the minimum of all the values f at x as x varies in D, and f at x hat is the minimum, no, is the maximum, sorry, of all values f at x as x is going into D. Okay? In my lecture notes, you find the proof of the theorem. The proof is very easy once you know the Bolzano-Weierstrass theorem. Okay? Because it just asks for you to apply the Bolzano-Weierstrass theorem to continuity. I just give you the theme, the initial thing for the proof, which is the following. So this is a thing for the proof. Well, okay, I have these seven numbers. F of x, where x varies in D. Okay, this is a test set number. It has an intimum. Okay, you have a set of numbers 1, 2, 5, -3, and so. It might have a minimum value, but it also might have an intimum, meaning that it is not one of the values. It is smaller than all the values, but it is not all the values. And any other value which is smaller than that, which is smaller than all the values, it is smaller than the intimum. Okay? So the right notation is not minimum, because minimum is telling you that that this is one of the values here. Okay? Intimum means it could be not a member of the set. You go back to your calculus notes and you will find the definition. Okay, let's call it L. Okay, this could be a finite number, but it could also be minus infinity. Okay, if the values are -1, -2, -3, and so on, the intimum is minus infinity. So this could be a number or could be minus infinity. What you have, this is the intimum of this set. You have, the intimum has this property. You have a sequence of values which converge to the intimum.
But this set is not
compact.
Minus...
Okay, this set...
L
is a value.
It belongs to...
It does not necessarily belong to the set. If it belongs to the set, we are done. Because it will be this value for some x, for some x bar. The fact is that it is in principle, this does not, may not belong to this set.
No, if this is the set...
No, this is in Rn. Is L which belongs to minus infinity?
No, check
N. Yeah. Okay? So, since it's the intimum, there must be a sequence of values here which converge to this value. Okay? So you have point S, Sk, such that this is true. As k goes to plus infinity, this happens. Okay? And this point belongs to D. Okay? Since this is the intimum, it means that you have a sequence of points here going to that value. Okay? If this value is minus infinity, you have a sequence of points which go down, of values which go down to minus infinity. Well, I stop here, then you apply the Diels compact and you exploit this theorem. So you have a cluster point, a subsequence which converge, and then you apply that F is continuous. Okay? And you will show that the cluster point is exactly the minimum point. Okay? So this is a bit more than a hint of the proof, it's a sketch of the proof. Okay? But you have the full details on my lecture notes. What I want to show you is that compactness is crucial to get this result. Okay? Why is this result meaningful to us? Because this is telling us, okay, if you have these two properties, continuity of the function and compactness of the set, minimum point exists, so we can build algorithms to find them. Okay? And the algorithm, if it is a correct one, will give you the point, a minimum point. Okay? Otherwise, you can build the algorithm, but you are not sure that minimum points do exist. Okay? The example is simple, and to make it very, very simple, I make it just one variable. So you can just check it with your old knowledge of calculus. So m equal 1. Let's take a function down this way, and as d we take the positive numbers, the set of positive non-negative numbers, this half line. And as f you can take any which has this behavior, but for instance you can take f of x to be e at minus x, okay? Okay, let's take f at x such that x is greater equal than 0. So it's the set of values e minus x as x is greater equal than 0. What is the infimum of this set? Yes, it is 0. The infimum of this set, it is 0. Okay? Is there any point such that... Is there any point in D such that f of x is 0? No. Okay? What is missing here? This set, D, the half line, is not compact. Why it is not compact? Because it is not bounded. Okay? To be bounded, it must be in a ball, and a ball in one dimension is an interval of the time minus mm. Okay? So, D is not compact. You could make more complex examples in which the set is compact, but the function is not continuous, and you don't have a minimum or a maximum point as well. Okay? But try. Try by yourself. I don't even put one in the notes. Maybe I should add. Okay? So, I think we can take just 5 minutes as a break, and then we'll start discussing about calculus for this type of functions. Okay? The differentiability properties that we will need to build algorithms.